I appreciate Norma. She comes up. Norma Henry comes up a couple times a week and helps us with our mailings. And I tell you, she is perfection. She is, isn't she? I mean, she doesn't say a whole lot, but just come up there, you ask her, how was Sunday? Oh, it was better than the Sunday before. It's just the way she is. I mean, I love Norma. And then Wilma. Wilma pops in and out, and usually when she does, it's good. So appreciate that, and I'm just so glad that I can be here so that your pastor and his wife can go on vacation because they deserve it. And so it's special that I can be here. Okay, we're going to start out with, is this where you turn the lights off up here? I think. Can everybody see that okay? Can read it? All right. Well, let's look at it. It says, I am not God. Does anybody in here would like to be God once in a while? Never? Some say never. Anybody here? Now, be honest. Boy, if I could just be God for about 2 minutes, I'd take care of that guy. You ever felt that way? Okay, maybe I wouldn't take the highest seat of authority, but if I could be a highway patrol right now, that guy would be pulled over. I felt that way this week. Went to Jalka Lake, was raped, so we had a mother, a daughter, father getaway. We left early in the morning, didn't come home till 10 o'clock. We ate at a steakhouse. We just had a good time together. But anyways, on the way, this guy, I'm in the passing lane, and all of a sudden I look in my rear view window or mirror, and here come this vehicle just flying. And if I wouldn't pull over, and believe me, I was going around another car, but if I didn't speed up and get out of his way, I would have been, I don't know, mashed potatoes. But let's be honest, sometimes we would like to have more authority than what God has given us. And so that's what our message is about today. Authority does not belong to me and you. It doesn't, as we will see. We're going to look at the scripture. Now, we're not going to have much scripture up here, and I hope that's not too small. But let's start out with, thus says the Lord that created the heavens. God himself that formed the earth and he made it, he has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And look what the last part of it says. I am the Lord and there's none else. There's only one Lord. He is the Lord of lords, and he's the King of kings, and there's none beside him, and he is the creator. He's the only creator. He's the one. Now, before we look at that verse, I want to ask you this. Actually, let's go back. Let's go back to where we were. The Bible does not tell us where God came from. You see that in there? Does it say anywhere it's in there, or do you recall ever reading a scripture that tells us where God came from? Does the Bible tell us or offer any proof of his existence? Now, I always thought it did. The Bible proves that there's a God, right? But when I was ordained, I was asked, or my pastor said, now Joe, I'm going to be nice to you. He said, that question will probably come up, and I don't want you to be embarrassed. He said, really, when you get right down to it, the Bible does not prove that there is a God. Now it does say, look at the words here, down here at the bottom, I am the Lord and there's none else. We believe that, but that doesn't necessarily prove yet that there's a God. It's just that it says there is. Okay? Now we'll go to the next verse. It simply says that in the beginning, so we know there was a beginning. I don't buy this millions and billions of years ago. I don't buy this explosion.
That's right.
Because the Bible gives us a clear outline. It says that Adam was 700 and some years old and he died, and then it gives the next generation and all down through Seth and Methuselah, and then we get to Noah, and it keeps going, and it gives us every one of their dates of when they passed away. And so we can go back and tell that it was just about 6,000 years ago that they were kicked out of the garden. And we don't know how long the Garden of Eden experience was, but somewheres back there, there was a beginning, and God created the heavens and the earth. Now, since we know that, this is why I wanted to do this. I wanted us to not only see it, but I want us to get a picture of this. We're going to put God up at the top. And because of what we studied this morning, we can say God is the creator. Amen? And not only is he the creator, but he is the creator of all things, the Bible says. Nothing exists without God having had a hand in it, in creating it. Now the question we're left with, here's the question, look into your hearts. Do I really believe that God created everything? Do I really believe that God created everything, even without proof? Even without proof, I still believe that God created everything. I'd like for you to go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Now, while you're turning there, I'm going to read to you a scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. We know that as the faith chapter. Praise God for that chapter. If you ever struggle in your faith, that's a good chapter to go to, because it talks about all the men and people before us who died having faith of what God told them would be so. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, you're turning to John chapter 20, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Only by the word, the spoken word. The worlds were brought into being, and they were framed just the way God wanted it to be. And he sat back and he says, I like what I see. In verse 6 he says, but without faith, we all know this verse, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's by faith. You just have to believe it. I know it's not what we're made to do, but it's what God has required us to do. And he said that unless we come to him as with a childlike faith, we will never be saved. What is a childlike faith like? Well, it's the best thing that comes to my mind is when I was a young kid, probably three, four years old, and my dad used to tell us kids to get up on the top of the table, which was about this high, and then he'd stand back and we'd jump out into the air and he'd catch us. Now he'd go back a little bit further and he'd say, jump again. And we didn't even question Dad. We just had faith that he would catch us. We didn't even question it for one second. And that's what God wants us to do. He does not want us to question that he and he alone created everything and everything. Now, John chapter 20, look at verse 27. I'll give you some background here. Thomas, Jesus had risen from the dead. It was the first day of the week. And he shows up where all of the disciples were gathered except one. Thomas wasn't there. And all of the disciples got to see Jesus for the very, very first time since he had been resurrected from the grave. And they actually got to see his hands and his sight, and they were believers. But guess what Mr. Thomas said when he found out about what the others were saying? He says, I don't believe it until I see with my own eyes his hands and his sight, and then I will see, then I will believe it. Now look at verse number 27. Because Thomas got his chance 8 days later. They were gathered again, it says, in the home. And it says in verse 27, then says he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and stop being faithless, but believe. That's what the word says. And look at verse 28. I love this verse. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God, it's you. And you know what? He makes it personal. My Lord and my God. And every one of us at some point in our life will have to make it personal. Look at verse 29. Then Jesus says unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know what? Thomas that day missed out on a blessing.
Yes.
But we can have that blessing.
Amen.
We have not seen it. I don't even need to see those scars. I don't need to see that sight. I will get to see it one day. I know I will. I'll know exactly who he is when I put my eyes on him. But before I see that, I know it happened. I have no doubt about it. Okay, let's keep going. There are three reasons why people don't believe that God exists, that I believe. There are three reasons. Now, we're going to cover those three reasons. The first reason that people say God does not exist is because they say, I can't see him. Why would I believe in something that I can't see? The second reason is they do not believe that God exists because of the consequences of believing. We're going to cover that. And the third reason is people don't want to believe that God exists because they want to do as they please. That's true. And we're going to cover that, but we'll go up to the first one. People don't believe that God exists because they say they cannot see him. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Because God has an answer for those people. I remember running across this scripture many years ago when I was saved, shortly after I was saved. And I never forgot it because I always had a question about what about the people that live in the bush over in Africa? They don't have a Bible. They don't have a preacher. What about those people? It just doesn't seem fair. Would God cast somebody like that into hell, right along with the ones that are maybe living in America and go by churches and wave to preachers but never stop to hear the gospel? Are they all going to be thrown into the same lake of fire? And I always questioned that, always wondered about that. I believe that this scripture is for the ones who do not see him or refuse to believe that he exists because they can't see him. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 20. The Bible says that God can be seen by looking at what he created. It says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him. Now what's it talking about? It's talking about the things that our human eye cannot see. It's invisible. It's the invisible parts of God. Let's read it again. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How can they be clearly seen? Well, let's keep reading. Being understood by the things that are made. Okay? If I look out there and I see a tree, I automatically believe that there's a creator. I was talking to bunch of construction workers on Thursday night. I practiced on this Thursday night, actually. I don't usually tell people that. But I practiced on them, guys. Big, rough, dirty, muddy crowd. Some of them weren't saved. Matter of fact, the one guy almost got fired because he had been smoking marijuana that week. and they brought it out in the business meeting. But when I got up there, boy, now I lost my train of thoughts. Oh, they are pole barn builders. That's what they were. They built pole barns. And I asked them, I said, have you ever driven in and said, pole barn, just come into being? Or have you ever driven in and somehow built something without getting your hammer or your nails out? No, never. You know why? Because if you want to build a pole barn, you get your hammer out, you get your nails out, you get your blueprints out, and you have it all laid out, and then you begin to work away, and eventually, if you keep at it, you'll put the roof on, and you'll have what they call a little barn. Now, when I go by and I see that barn, I automatically know that somebody built that barn. It didn't just come into being. Somebody took the time and built that. And that's what this verse is saying. When you go by and you look at the tree, know that there is a creator. There's a designer behind that tree. And if you go to the Rocky Mountains, if you go to the, what's that big park out there west in Wyoming? Huh?
Yellowstone.
Yeah, the Grand Canyon is what I was thinking. My goodness, if you've been out there, you just stand back in amazement. Somebody had a very creative mind. And he decided he was going to make this. Now, we're getting ready to go to Hawking Hills. And if you've never been to Hawking Hills, you should go there. That's in our own state. And it will bring God's handiwork out like hardly any other place I know of here in Ohio. Beautiful. Anyways, let's read the verse. Being understood, halfway through the verse, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? They have no excuse. What about the people in Africa? They have no excuse. And you know what? I believe God puts, in Ecclesiastes, it talks about God placed eternity in our hearts. I think God puts things in our hearts that draw us. And we can read in Deuteronomy, we can read in Jeremiah, that if you search for God with all of your heart, you know what it says? You shall find him. Okay. People don't believe God exists because of the consequences of believing. Now, we know that from living in the USA. They're taking God out of everywhere, out of the schools. Believe me, it will happen. We're going to see the day when they'll take God out of our churches too. That's where they're headed. It never stops. Okay. Let's stop right now and let's look at what we talked about earlier. When someone creates something like a book, he or she becomes the author, right? And authority comes from the word author. Now, Norma, if you go and you write a book, we will call you the author. And if you say, I'd like to sell this book for $10 a piece. I have no right to come up to you and say, now, Norma, don't you realize most people are very poor these days and without jobs? You should sell that book for $5 a piece. You know what? I have no right to tell Norma what to do with it. She's the author of it, right? If she wants to tear page 24 out and totally eliminate it from her book, she can. She's the author of it. If God exists and he made everything, then he has to write the rule, his creation. Is that right?
Yes.
He becomes the author, the creator. And he even has the right to rule all of us people, because he created us too. Okay? People don't believe God exists because they want to do as they please. And boy, Rachel, didn't we see that on the Friday. Amen. Down at the water park. I've never seen hairdos like this in my life. I have never seen rings. One guy had this huge earring, this big around, stuck through his ear, and it had a hole that size, had to be, because he had pushed it through there. Big old plastic thing. People don't believe that God exists because they want to do exactly how they want to, how they please. Now, go to Romans chapter 1. I'm not done with my story, but I'll save a little bit here. Romans chapter 1. You are maybe in Romans. Yes. Go to verse 28. But before you go there, the problem with people doing as they please. Now listen to this. The problem with people doing as they please is that their choices result in chaos. The Bible says it, and I can see it in our own world. We are probably in the most chaotic time of this world than maybe ever. I don't know. It says back in the days of Noah, they were continuously evil. But all I see today is people continuously evil and wicked. But look at verse 28. Look what happened. Look what happened here. And even as they, verse 28, and even as they, people, did not retain or maintain God in their knowledge. That's where they went wrong. They took God out of their knowledge. They rejected and turned their back on the Creator that created them. Look what God did. God gave them over to a reprobate, or what that means is a worthless, good-for-nothing mind, to do those things which are not convenient. And we talked about the animal world this morning. And I'm here to tell you know this, the animal world is often has a whole lot more wisdom than us people. Amen. They do what they were supposed to do. Amen. Look what he did. Verse 29. Being filled, this is what he did. He gave them over. Gave them over to their own wickedness. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Young people, that means sex outside of marriage. That's what that means, fornication, sex outside of marriage. Why can people, young people, it's so, even in our churches, that's why I want to say something about that this morning. I pray every day for my children that they will be pure when they walk up to the altar. If I find out, and you know what, that's why those pretty girls wear pretty white gowns. It's a picture. It's supposed to be a picture of purity. But God gave them over to fornication. That's why we have the fornication problem today. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, that which means cruelty, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, which means evil-mindedness, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, and disobedient to parents, and the list goes on. That's what we saw the other day. Seriously. And I wondered how many of these people that were at the park had broken moms and dads. I mean, they didn't have any, they didn't either didn't have a dad, or they were living with their grandparents, or I just couldn't help wondering about that, because we had neighborhood Bible time a couple weeks ago at my home church, and we looked at that crowd of young children, 132 young children, and a comment was made that, you know what, most of these guys came in on the bus today, and most of them are from the trailer court, and we know that it is a mess. It is a sickening, worse than animal mess out there at the trailer park. It's out of control. It's exactly what it's talking about here. But the other day, when we were at the park, I thought I saw everything. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was everything that you saw. But then we were standing in line, and here's this young couple of the same sex, hanging on to each other, kissing each other. There's 100 of us standing in line, and everybody was focused on them. They were not embarrassed. They were not ashamed. It was awful. Oh, It was so awful. I had to teach Rachel on the way home that her children will probably see that a lot. And you know what? We will probably see that a lot because it's taking over. It sickens me. You know, it's times like this that I would like to be God for just a moment. I would. And if I was, none of those would last. That's true. Thank you. You are right. You're right. God is what does it say? He is slow to anger. And you know what? If he got rid of those people, then we'd probably be in the same boat. That's probably very true. Amen. Okay, let's keep going. God created, let's look at three more things. God created all things, or if he did, because he did, then he possesses the power and privileges that are exclusively his. Go to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. I'm going much too slow here, and we probably will not get through this. But we will go for until we get through this part of it. Because God created all things, then he possesses power and privileges that are exclusively his. Daniel chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 35. Here it shows some of God's power. Verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed. That means presumed as nothing. Who's he talking about? Us. You know, when you start to compare yourself with God, now we love to compare with each other. But when you set that person aside and you compare yourself with God, then you will fall in this category. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed or presumed as nothing. And he does according to his will. Listen now. In the army of heaven and also among the inhabitants of the earth. And none in heaven or on earth can stay or restrain his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I know people, and I'm probably guilty of this a few times myself, of going to God and say, how could you do this to me? And that's what the scripture's saying here. I'm nothing. I don't even have a right to go and say, why, God? I don't have a right to do that. He can do what he wants. Now, here's some questions. Do you believe that God has the power to control everything in creation? Are there things that you think escape his attention? No. Okay. By popular vote, we will say then that not only did God create, but can you see that little arrow? It says the power to control. So God has the power to control. Okay, let's keep going. Number two, because God created all things, he has the exclusive right to determine standards of conduct for all people and to judge all people by his standards. Go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. I mean, we're talking about the author of a book. If you wrote it, you published it, you have the rights to do with whatever you want. Except Romans chapter 9 is a tough one. I surely don't understand it, but we're going to read it. I don't believe people, doctors, I'm talking about scholars who got their doctorate degree, can fully comprehend what Romans chapter 9 is about. But nonetheless, let's look at it. Let's start at verse 17. Well, let's look at verse 15. For he says, that's God, for he, God, says to Moses, Romans chapter 9, verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now jump to verse 17. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Why did God raise him up? Right, here's the answer. That I, God, might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Why do you think Pharaoh was born? God had a purpose for this man even before he was born. Just like Jeremiah, while I was still in my mother's womb, you called me. And this is what he's saying here. I have raised you up, Pharaoh. I raised Pharaoh up for this very purpose. I wanted to show my power in that time and for the rest of the history of time. Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he hardens. Now, here's what I would say, and he brings the question right out here. Verse 19, and thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? I mean, if God has the power and he does whatever he wants through me, how come God finds fault with me? That's a good question. I'll ask that when I get to heaven. For who has resisted his will? Verse 20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? God, I didn't want to be a factory worker all my life. I wanted to be a preacher. Well, God decided that he needed a factory worker, and you were next in line, and so you got created, and today you're a factory worker. And then he needed a preacher, and I came along, and he said, I'm going to gift you, and he said, now you're a missionary. I mean, God creates whoever he wants to. And we have no right to say, God, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to be this. God is in control. James chapter 4, don't turn there because of time. Verse 12 says, there's one lawgiver. There's one. One lawgiver, and only one. There's none beside him. There's only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Listen to this. Who art thou that judges another? Okay. So let's keep moving here. Do you believe that God has the exclusive right to determine standards of conduct for all mankind? Do you believe that he has the exclusive right to judge every person? Amen. Amen. According to popular vote, he has the power to control and he has the right to judge. Okay, now we're going to look at the last one. Because, let's go to Revelation chapter 4. You can turn there while I read this. Because God created all things, he deserves the praise of all creation. Revelation chapter 4. While you're turning there, I will just read to you two verses from Psalms chapter 95 and 96. David says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God had a creative mind, and he sat down and decided to create something very special. And he created the universe and the world that we live in, the planets and all that stuff. Then he created all the fish and the birds. He left the best for last, and that was us. Last of all, he created human beings. And he said, these are going to have minds that can come to me and worship me from their heart. Because God likes to be worshipped. And it says that God is a jealous God. He doesn't like it when you give your worship to your car or to your spouse or to your children. He doesn't want to share that worship. He wants all of it. He wants all of it. So, we're going to say that he has the power to control, the right to judge, and he deserves all praise.
Amen.
Okay, now we're going to go look through something here. Only God has the power to control all things. He is completely independent and needs help from no one, not even us. Okay, number two. Only God has the right to judge all things, determine standards, and reject those who are not obedient to those standards. Amen? And the last one, only God deserves all praise, worship, and approval from all things that he created.
Amen.
Question. I don't think I have to ask this question. Do you agree that the rights that just listed are God's exclusive rights?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Though God is the only one who has the power to control, the right to judge, and deserves all praise, there are others who have tried to take those rights from him. And you know what? It started with Satan. If you would go to Isaiah, I think we got time. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. I think we do need to see this. Satan, who went by the name Lucifer, was created in heaven just like us human beings. Isaiah chapter 14 is where we're headed to. He was created just like us, and he was a step ahead of us because he was already in heaven. But it says in verse number 12, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Here's a little background on the creation of Lucifer. It says verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now listen to verse 13 and 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Look what verse 14 says. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. That's what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to take every right away from God, and he wanted to be just like God. He wanted to ride the highest clouds. He wanted to sit in a throne himself. When he says, I will ascend into heaven, it sounds to me like he wants to take control and do what he pleases. When it says that I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, it sounds to me like he wants people to bow to his throne and praise him.
Yes.
When it says here in verse 13, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, it sounds like it to me that he wants to judge and rule from a seat of authority. That's what it sounds like to me. Well, somebody else is trying to be like God too, not just Satan. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Man tries to be like God. Trying to be like God did not end with Satan. Satan, in the form of a serpent, comes to Adam and Eve, and he successfully tempted them to follow his rebellion of trying to be like God. I know I'm going over a little bit here, but we're gonna catch up here real quick. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto, this is Lucifer, the one we just got done reading about. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods. And if you look into the originals, you will see that it could have been, the word God could have been used and would have probably been better. So we could almost be safe in saying, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now let's just consider Eve for a moment. Eve wasn't any different than us. She was just a human being created like us. And when she heard this the first time, I'm sure she said, no way, no way. I'm not touching that fruit. God says not to touch it, and I ain't touching it. But you know what? Satan also hasn't changed anything from what he was back then either. And I know that Satan would go back to her day after day or time after time after time, and he was not going to let her go. Hey, how'd you like Eve to have your eyes open up and be like your creator? What do you think that would feel like? And she probably wasn't any different than us. Well, it'd be nice to have a little bit more authority, have my eyes opened up, know what's good and evil. She got to thinking about it. She thought about it, and one day it happened. She broke it off, she ate it, she gave some to her husband, and as we know, that was the beginning of turmoil and has lasted for 6,000 years. Question. Who else? We talked about Adam and Eve, but who else do you know that has been deceived into thinking that he or she could assume the rights of God? Does it bother you when you're not in control? Let's just take a little evaluation here. Does it bother you when you're not in control? Does it bother you when things don't go your way? That's not how I want it to go. Do you have trouble asking for help? There's 9 of these. I hope you're saying yes or no to these. Number 4, do you get impatient when people don't do things right? Does it upset you when you don't get good service? Do you try to change people? I think that's probably the one I flunked the most. You should be in ministry for a while. You know what I'm talking about. You can't get tired of waiting on God. You try to do it yourself, and then you mess everything up. Number 7, do you look for approval or thanks from others? Do you try to keep other people happy? Do you reject people who mistreat you? That's you down there at the bottom. You may not have realized that you were trying to be more like God than you thought you were. However, what do the answers reveal? It's something to think about. Well, I was going to go into a couple more things. Man tries to, let's just go through there. Man tries to control, he tries to judge, he seeks praise. But what did Jesus do? When Jesus came down, he set the example for Christianity. He was the author of Christianity. And I've got to read some of the scripture, at least one. He trusted God's control. He did not judge. He said, I didn't come to judge. He said in John that chapter 3, I believe it is, that he came to save the world. And you know what? He gave all praise. Let's go to 2 Peter. We're going to look at that last one. I think we need to see that. Because go to 2 Peter, I believe it is. Going to look at one more scripture. No, it's 1 Peter. First First Peter, he trusted in God's control. This is probably the hardest one for us. He trusted in God's control. First Peter chapter 2, look at verse 23. Talking about Jesus here. He says, who when he, Jesus, was reviled, did not revile back or reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. We don't have to do his job. He may not do it the day that it happened, but he'll do it sooner or later. It will be done. Vengeance is the Lord's. Okay, we're going to stop right there. I hope you had a chance to let it sink into your heart. I appreciate the extra time. But I would like for you to stand to your feet. Everybody just stand to your feet. Maybe you have struggled in one of the areas, judgmental, controlling. Maybe you're insecure and you like when people really praise you. That often happens when we are in an insecure moment of our life. Maybe you struggle in one of those areas, and this morning, you know you do, and you don't want to walk out of here the same way you come in. You want to repent today. Now, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you the opportunity to repent. I would like for us all to bow our heads just for a moment. Bow our heads. No one is looking around. You're looking into your heart. And maybe, like we said, you need to share with God the specific areas or people that you have tried to control. If you have a controlling personality, would you just share it with God? Maybe number two, you need to share with God the times and when you have been judgmental of others. Maybe it was yourself or maybe it was God, but you were judgmental. And you struggle in that area, you have a little notebook that you keep track of all the things that people do. Maybe this morning you need to realize that judgment does not belong to you. Maybe you're here this morning, you need to share with God your attempts to seek God's praise. Agree with God that you have been wrong for trying to take his place. Would you do that right now in your heart, right where you're at? Just agree with God that you were wrong. Tell God that you choose to trust his control, his judgment, and acknowledge that he is worthy of your praise. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm wondering if some of you would be honest enough to say that, yeah, I struggle. I really, really struggle in at least one of those areas. And I prayed this morning and I agreed with God that I was wrong and I need to give it back to him and let him do that. If you prayed that way and you know you're struggling that way, no one's looking around, it's only God and I, would you just lift your hand and say, I that count me in, that was me. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Maybe somebody else. Maybe, thank you. Maybe you're here this morning, and if you died today, you don't know that you would go to heaven. You don't know that God, the one who created you, would allow you into heaven, but you would like to know that. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Here's my hand, Jill. I don't know that if I died, I'm saved and I would go to heaven. Please pray for me. I see a hand all the way in the back. Thank you for that hand. There's a second hand. Listen. We won't know what that moment will be like, but we do know this, it will happen one day. It will happen to every single one of us. I don't know that if I died today, I would go to heaven, but here's my hand. Anybody else? Father, there's two here that lifted their hands and don't know for sure. I pray that right now as we're praying, you would also convict their heart and give them boldness to step out and come forward. If they truly want to know how they can be saved, I pray, Spirit of God, that you would bring them out and bring them up right now so that we can talk to them about how to be saved. For the other ones that raised their hands, including myself, I pray and I agree with everyone that you have exclusive rights to judge, to control, and to be praised. We have no rights. Help us, God, because we are frail. Help us because tomorrow, without thinking, we will react in the wrong way again. But help us, Lord, and give us the strength and whatever we need to allow you to be God.